Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Prash. I'm the Assistant Minister here. Merry Christmas to you and your family. It's lovely to be with you on Christmas morning, especially with a full church. Now, as we, I'm going to spend just a couple of minutes thinking about the passage that was just read to us. And as I reflect on it, I think when you're telling a story, when you're retelling events, the idea of a quest or a search is very powerful. A search for something, a quest for something, draws people in to a story. It makes them want to know more about the thing that's being searched for and the people who are searching. A great example of this is in the movie adaptation of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Willy Wonka's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Particularly, I like the 1970s version, where they spend an inordinate amount of time, actually, over the search for the golden ticket. If you don't know the story, Willy Wonka has disappeared for about 3 years. Suddenly, he reappears. He says there's 6 tickets or something like that, golden tickets, which give you access to the chocolate factory on a tour. And they spend a lot of the story, actually, searching, that the story is about the search for the golden ticket. Now, I thought, this has got to be interactive. So I have tasked you with a similar search. Under one of your pews, oh, actually, before you search. Some of you are already just looking, aren't you? Yeah. See how the search draws you in? There is a prize today. There is a prize. This box. There's something, you know, I haven't just wrapped a random box. This is on offer. And also a tour of my office. No, my office is great. It's got a view of the Kirk's backyard. We keep the door window shut, guys. And it's got air conditioning. And also it gets lots of bugs. So if you're looking for a prize, I can't suggest this prize any more highly. Now, there's a search. Under one of your pews is a golden ticket. Who's got it? Who has it? Oh, we have a winner! It's a Burge! Oh, it truly is a great Christmas for you! Well done, give him a round of applause. Fantastic. Come and claim your prize from me. Your prizes, actually, from me. The tour is only valid tomorrow. This morning we're looking at one of the great searches. Leonardo da Vinci, when he painted this scene, he called it the Adoration of the Magi, the final scene of the passage that we read. But at the centre of the passage and our reflections this morning is the search for the king, a search of profound importance, a search that really is the culmination of thousands of years of searching for this person. And within the first 3 verses, we're introduced to what it really looks like as 2 search parties. The first search party is the one we think of, the Magi, the wise men, the astrologers, as they would have probably been. And they come from the east, which is kind of code for saying they don't come from the place where God's people normally were. They come from a far-off land. And they are looking, though, for the king of the Jews, but they are not Jews themselves. In a sense, they're symbolic of a world that's actually searching for a king. The second search party is King Herod. In part, we meet Herod because he's a bit of a historical context setter. As we read it, we place him, oh, okay, all this is happening in the time that King Herod was alive and was ruling the Jewish nation. And so they are, extraordinarily, while searching for a king, encountering a king themselves. But he doesn't strike them as the king that they're looking for. Naturally, this is slightly upsetting for Herod. Imagine someone turning up saying, "We're looking for the King of the Jews." Seen one? Herod is disappointed. Interestingly, actually, Matthew says all of Jerusalem is disappointed. The world is searching for the King of the Jews, and the Jews are disappointed that perhaps the King has arrived. It is, of course, the Magi who find the King in the end, as we read on. It is the Magi. And if you stick around and come back to church next week, the passage will show us why that's actually good news, because Herod goes about killing all the firstborn children in an attempt to get rid of this baby king. So we're thankful that the people who found the king were the Magi. Now, we like this vision of God and religion. We like this vision where the good guys win, where the people searching find God, where God comes to us on our own terms, where it seems like if we exercise enough human inquiry, we will find God. We like that. Where the human mind and its effort is sufficient for finding God. However, the truth of the events in the passage are slightly more nuanced. There is a search in this passage. There is someone searching someone else. But the active agent is not, first and foremost, the humans, but it is God. It is God searching for his people. Humans are not the seekers, they are the sought. And without God's initiative, it is pointless searching for him. That's the point of this story. It would be like trying to find the baby son of a young peasant couple in the middle of a large Middle Eastern city. Near impossible. Impossible, in fact. And you see this point driven home a couple of times in the passage. For example, in the star, in verse 9, the star they had seen when it rose and went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Now, stars, of course, are stationary. We've learned that since Galileo, that in fact planets rotate around stars. So stars are stationary. So some people thought perhaps this was a comet. I remember in 1986, Halley's Comet came whizzing past. And, well, the whole experience, we went out in our backyard, the whole experience lasted for about 30 seconds. But this star moves and then lingers. It's leading them, directing them, guiding them, drawing them to some place. And then secondly, in verse 12, we have the reference to the dream given to the Magi, driving home the reality that God is actually the true director. It says that in a dream, they were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, and so they returned to their country by another route. The content of the dream is really unknown, but the meaning is clear. And so within what is essentially a historical story, remember this is placed in the time of Herod, there are these overtly supernatural, unscientifically explainable events. And therein lies the point, actually. Rather than being the main operators in this episode, the Magi are the ones who are being led. They are the one being led. And God is the one who is calling them, drawing them, directing them to the place of his son. This is one of the unique differences between the Christian faith and all other religions. Where every other religion seeks to call God down, to draw him into our midst, to lure him to us, the Christian faith declares that God has already come and he is calling you. He is calling you. My daughter is two years old. We tried to play hide and seek the other day. It was a complete failure. She hadn't got the concept yet. And I understood very quickly that if she wanted to find me, I had to make it very clear to her. Even a muffled cough was not enough. But when she found me, she was quite happy about the experience. You see, I hid, but I hid wanting her to find me. God wants to be found. God wants to be found. And that's good news for us, otherwise we wouldn't find him. And the birth of his son into the world gives this profound truth flesh and bones, reality and truth. It makes it personally relevant to you and I. God wants to be found. If you take nothing away from this morning, realize this. God wants to be found. It is worth reflecting, as I conclude, that those who encounter God, though, are not passive. They are not passive. They are not dragged along by some mysterious force as they go in a trance from one place to another. They actively search. The Magi enter into this journey and they follow the star to its final destination. And so I do want to say that perhaps this Christmas, perhaps you've come to church every week this year, perhaps you come to church every Christmas, but this is your Christmas star moment. This is the moment that you realize God is seeking you. He is seeking you. And so I want to implore you not to disregard the call of God on your life. Will you follow him to his final place, to the place of Jesus Christ who hung on a cross and who then broke the seal on the tomb? Will you do it? But it's also important to recognize that the Magi's activism, it crescendos as they draw close to the child. And the ultimate expression of following God is a moment of worship. What it means to hear the call of God, to recognize that he's seeking you, is to bow before him in worship, to hand over what is expensive and valuable, what is costly, at the feet of the king. And here is the real wisdom of the Magi. Here is what makes them truly wise, because they enter the manger or the living space of Jesus and his family, and they are undeterred by the surroundings. They acknowledge him for who he really is. You know, previously they stood in the court of Herod in the opulence and the magnificence of a king, and yet they were unconvinced of the king they had found. And now they stand in the humble quarters of a peasant family, and they know and they willingly hand over what is most valuable to them because they have found the king. They have found the king. And they realize that this night is no ordinary night. It is the holiest of nights, for the holy God has come near. He has come in flesh. He has come seeking the lost, and he has come for his people. And so they present their treasures, not as offerings to call God down, but as moments of adoration, moments of worship. So come, offer your gifts, offer your life to the King of Kings. Amen.